All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pill. This is episode number 181, I believe.
82.
182?
I believe so.
Are you counting what we did on Saturday for Patreon?
No.
Huh. That's impressive. We're getting up there. It's
Yeah. Balenciaga was 181.
yeah, that was for Patreon.
Okay. So
So this is 181.
okay.
It is Friday. Is it March? March 3rd.
Yes,
I'm
it
a little bit
is.
out of it. I'm a little bit frazzled, Deborah. How
You
are you?
frazzled, huh?
Yeah.
I'm fine. You want to talk about why you're frazzled?
Sure. It's nothing bad. It's just a busy time of year. On a homestead, especially up here, it gets tough because the weather. By March, it's been winter in the Pacific Northwest since October. Remember when it was 85 degrees one day and then it was 40 and raining, and that's what it's been ever since, besides the days that it snowed. And yeah, it just gets to you after a while, and you think you're like, oh, once we get to March, it'll be all over. And then it's snowing today. So
It's snowing today.
yeah, a little bit. And
Oh, brother.
mostly just rain, but a little snow this morning. And it's just the time of year on a farm or a homestead, if you have livestock, that everything starts happening all at once. And so we've got all these pregnant girls. I was expecting babies in April, and I went out to feed my sheep 2 days ago, and there was a lamb, a little baby girl lamb. And
Nice.
super cute, really, really exciting, but we were not ready for it. Usually you want to get your sheep trimmed up at least around their bellies and their udders and their sides so the baby can find how to nurse,
Yeah.
And this girl, Laverne, she looks like a mop. So she looks like one of those dreadlock dogs,
Yeah.
And so we were worried. We didn't see her nursing, and Emily, I'm the opposite of Emily. When I'm worried about something, I just kind of like brush it to the side, ignore it, and she just like does massive research and worries. And then when we combine and butt heads about that, it makes it worse. It makes me stress out more, and like yeah. So, I just I we put them in the barn. I trimmed up her belly with some old scissors, and the baby's doing great, healthy and perfect and good. And but then we got
Perfect.
this big ram, Lambert, and he's sick. Hold on, I'm gonna pause for a second. I gotta take a phone call. Sorry guys, that was very unprofessional. That was a phone call I had to take. I'll explain in a minute. But also apologies about the sound. Deborah and I just went to record, and my mic wasn't working. I think the cord's worn out. We've had it since probably about our third episode, so I think I need to replace it. Yeah, and sorry for the tardiness. I know we're supposed to be out Tuesday or Thursday. We were just really busy this week. So yeah,
You've got a lot going on.
our big ram Lambert, he's sick. He's not doing well. He was really, really skinny, and we got to figure out what's going on with him. We're trying to nurse him back to health. He's in the barn. I gave him a bunch of sheep dewormer, sheep drench this week. We stuffed a whole Guinness down his throat last night because that's supposed to help their guts after they take the dewormer. Just feeding him like a lot of high protein stuff, alfalfa pellets, orchard grass, molasses, everything. So
Does he
yeah,
have an appetite?
he's eating a lot, and it's just so hard to tell if he's going to put on weight or not. And there's a scary thing called Jonas disease, spelled like
Yeah.
John's, like Johnnes, I think. And if they got it, your whole endeavor is messed up. But if he's got it, everybody's got it, and it like poisons your pasture for like 2 years
Oh my God.
for sheep. So hopefully we were just gonna pray for the best. I don't know. We're gonna take him into the vet on Tuesday just to double check. And then we were looking out the window yesterday and we seen the other sheep walking around and one of them's limping. So I gotta figure out what to do about why a sheep would be limping, if she's got foot rot or if she sprained her leg somehow, or twisted her knee, who knows? I don't see anything rotten in her feet. So yeah, it's just a lot going on. I went down today and bought some clippers that I found off a guy on Craigslist. Really nice guy. Got so they're cool. They're like big heavy duty sheep shears made by Webster. And yeah, I got a hold of the guy who sheared our sheep last year on Instagram. I found him and sent him a DM. We talked on the phone. He said, give me a call. So I'm gonna go out to his place in Astoria tomorrow. He's gonna give me a once over on how to do like every work the shears, and he's gonna open everything for me for free. It's crazy.
That's
Crazy
very
how nice
nice.
people are. And then he's gonna give me a bunch of information about I want to go to shearing school. So they have a few of them around. They're hard to get into because they're in such high demand. But one in Roseburg, which is getting down into southern Oregon. And there's an Oregon State University extension in St. Helens. I just called them, and that's who just called me. They just called me back, and the guy told me about it. And then the shearer I talked to on the phone told me about it too. So he's gonna give me all the info. I might go all the way up to Moses Lake, which is like in the eastern Washington, like Scablands, and they have a program up there. 4 days you have to, camp out or stay overnight. So I just want to learn how to do it. I think it would be a really, really valuable thing to do. It's hard to get a sheep shearer, like it's hard to get a butcher. So if I could just, do stuff locally and some extra money doing that, it'd be cool. I got a generator, I have a truck, and I have shears. So
So what will you do with the wool?
with my personal wool, I don't have any plans for it right now. I got two garbage bags of it out in the carriage house right behind me, from last year that I never did anything with. Yeah, I'm not gonna really be, I don't have any way to process it right now. That's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down,
Oh my God,
yeah.
yeah.
And yeah, a bunch of our sheep are just the hair sheep too. So we decided our other ram, Leonard, he's like not just mean, he's like extra violent now. And we got
What
him.
if what would make him is are the sheep the
Emily fed him,
females?
Emily treated him like a pet, and it ruins him.
Really?
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch him. You're not supposed to hand feed him. You're not supposed to. She like pet his head and stuff, and then they start getting violent after that.
What about touching them would cause them to become violent?
Because they think they're the one. They think they're the boss. So, yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so he goes, he's going to heaven next week. So the guy I got the other ram from said he'd help me. So I'm gonna put him in my truck, take him up to his place, and we're gonna do it up there. Yeah, so we got all that. I gotta take the two sheep that are sick to the vet on Tuesday, and then figure out when I'm gonna do that. And hopefully we don't have a button, and then there's baby piglets coming too soon, so
Does Jonas, is that how you say it?
That's how it's spelled. I've heard it pronounced Jonas.
Jonas, does that affect other animals, other livestock?
Not that I know of, but I could be wrong and learning everything for the first time. So yeah, I think it just gets sheep. So sheep, I talked a big game, like, oh, sheep are so easy, after chickens get sheep. They don't test the fences and they just there. You just have to give them water and grass, and then they're pretty delicate, so sometimes they just die. So I'm worried about this guy out in the barn. I don't want everybody to be sick, so it'd be a bummer. And I like him too. He's a big guy, hair sheep like I wanted, and I just don't want him to go down and
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go out later tonight, give them some more beer, some more food, and yeah.
We'll just keep thinking good thoughts
Yeah, that's what's going on
for
here.
Leonard and everybody else.
Yeah, what's going on with you?
Same old.
Yeah.
Not much.
How's your dog?
My dog is great. I moved his bed in here for when into this room when we're podcasting, and he loves his bed. He's just as the happiest clam ever, just
Yeah.
laying in his bed.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, the Patreon's still going good. Last week we had William Ramsey's on to talk about Balenciaga. So I didn't release it on the audio. I just put out the video for it because it was like just a slideshow of Balenciaga. If you want to cheat and get a free episode without being on the Patreon, he put it out. He recorded it too and just put it out like right away. So it's up on his anywhere you can find William Ramsey, it's up there. So it was good. And then tomorrow our good buddy Chris Graves is coming back on. Remember him, Deborah? He's the one that did the Kurt Cobain stuff with. And we're gonna do some true crime stuff with him the weekend after. Oh, I think we have Crow 777 coming up for one of our Patreons too. We'll be doing that soon, and then part two of my friend Michael from church. We will be talking, Orthodox conspiracies, and yeah, that's it. We want to recognize Lauren, our new Patreon friend. She joined the Paul Pelosi tier. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Get in there, guys. Support us that way. You can support us still, value for value. And what else? If you find some interesting news stories you want us to cover for the upcoming show, send them over. And yeah, we'd love to hear about it. It's oh, and I went on Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracies last week on Monday, so that should be up, I think. If you want to listen to me over there. What else? Got any news, Deborah? Any other news?
No news. No news.
Yeah. Deborah gets red-pilled at pm.me, get in the Telegram group. Telegram's been pretty quiet recently. I think I could get in there and stir it up and start talking and stuff. But yeah, the other sad news is I got a message from Chud X this morning, and he said that they're just he I think he's probably going through a lot of the stuff that I'm going through on his homestead up there in Washington. Busy spring, plus he's got his job that he's stuck at that I know is hard for him to get to every day. He doesn't like it, and then they had some other family stuff that went on. I don't really need to talk about it. If you want to hear about it, they talked about it on their podcast, The World As It Is Today. But my wife and I have gone through that same thing that they were talking about a couple times, and it's really hard to get through. And I think he's struggling with that. But he said podcasting to him right now is more of a chore than something he's enjoying. So he's gonna step away from the show for now. I know he wasn't on all that much anymore, but he's always got an open invite back on the show
That's
whenever he
right.
wants to come. And yeah, I just want everybody to know there was like no like bad falling out or anything between him and I. I hope we still get to stay in contact as much as we had. It was really nice doing the show with him because it was like I got to catch up with him every week too. So pray for their family and their homestead, and send out good thoughts to them. You can message him. He's Mr. Chud X on the socials. And we're all really grateful for what he did for the show, and hopefully this isn't the end of our time with him. So yeah, that's it. I sent him a message asking how he wanted me to tell you guys. I didn't hear anything, and so hopefully that's sufficient. I think that
Yeah, I
he'd
think it is.
be happy with
I
that.
think it is. I will miss getting to see him,
Yeah.
but he can come back.
Yeah. And I know Lanny, his wife, is doing a canning workshop this Sunday, day after tomorrow. If you guys want to sign up for that, that's at like greenerpostures.com or wherever. You guys all know how to get in there. She's in the Telegram group if you want to find her in there too. And they got their own Telegram. Easy to find. Canning's something I've never done. I've never pressure canned. I've canned pickles with like hot water where it's sealed and popped, but never boiled anything or used a pressure canner. So I'm looking forward to it. But I don't know. Emily and I have been on a new diet, and maybe we won't need vegetables anymore. She's going full ketogenic, and I'm like, as far as Lent goes, I'm carnivore right now. I'm eating ground beef, steaks, and broth. That's it. And it's amazing what's happening to my body. I don't really know how to explain any of it. I don't like learning really about health. If you've noticed our subject matter on the show, we had one health show one time with Tim James. That was a really bad show. I think that was like in the first 15 episodes, and we never revisited it. And it's just not something that really interests me all that much. But it's wild. I'm eating 8 ounces of ground beef at like 2 p.m., like half of a sirloin or a ribeye steak at like 6, drinking some bone broth and black coffee in the morning, and that's it. And I'm not hungry. I'm
And
not craving.
you're not craving
No.
anything.
I saw some Tillamook cheese yesterday. It looked pretty good, but after Lent, I will be able to do that.
And when does Lent come to its end?
Like mid-April.
Is a tip of the hat to
Yeah.
you.
But it's cool. It's like forced me to do this and get my body acting right. Now, Emily's I've been telling her for years and years to not years and years, maybe 2 years. I heard this woman on Joel Salatin's podcast a long time ago talking about the keto diet and fertility. I've been trying to get her to do it, and she's resistant to anything. This is how it goes. I tell her to do something, or not, I don't tell her. I suggest things to her, or like try to show her how to do something, and she doesn't want to do it because she has weird authority issues with men for some reason. And then we'll argue and fight about it, and then a year and a half later, like three girls that she knows will tell her about exactly what I said, and she'll do it. And then she'll be like, I should have listened to you.
You know, I have to say that I have that same scenario with my husband. I can tell
Yeah.
him something, you know, like he would complain about sunscreen getting
Oh,
into his
you so
eyes.
like
I'm the one,
you're me in the
yeah, I'm
situation.
you. And, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, or he doesn't hear me, or what for whatever. And then you know, years will pass and somebody will tell him something, and oh, yeah, okay. And I'm like,
Yeah,
all right.
he'll read it in the Wall Street Journal, and you've been telling it to him for years. Yeah, well, that seems to be the case for me and the whole world of humanity, you know. So
We are funny.
yeah, we're funny people. But yeah. Look at this. This is how much I'm getting another call from something that's probably important, and I'm going to not take it. So let's get into some news stories,
All
Deborah.
right. Okay.
Like I said, guys, I haven't been able to do a ton of research and work and stuff. I need to put more time into the show. I know the last show we did wasn't that great. We're coming up with good info, but I just need to like look into it a little bit more and maybe just I don't articulate. I have so much stuff going on in my head, it's hard for me to articulate it out loud sometimes, even though I'm a weird dude. I have a weird brain that works different ways, and it all works up here, and then it doesn't come out right. So But the news is wild right now, and I've got a bunch of stories. Do you have anything, Deborah?
Well, I have a couple.
Why don't you kick it off?
All right, I will. You remember your college years?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot from college because it was 20. I got to college in 1998. I graduated in the fall of 2002. I've been out of college for 21 years or something like that.
Do you remember what your major was?
Yeah, my major was history.
You
My
know
minor.
where I'm going?
My minor was Italian.
You know where I'm going then?
Where are you going? You don't remember what you majored in?
Oh, no, I remember. But freshman GOP, new guy, Andy Ogles from Tennessee.
Not George Santos.
Not George Santos, although I have a little bit of updates on him
We
also.
got some George Santos news today.
Just a little bit. But Andy Ogles on his,
What is his position
he's a new Senate
in the Senate
in
from what
this
state?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee. And when he, you know, put in his resume to be considered as, you know, this post, he said he studied and majored in international relations
Got it.
and policies. Okay.
That
And
sounds like a good major if
yeah.
you want to enter the political world.
So,
International relations,
what he,
not space relations, the book written by William Barr's father, who hired Jeffrey Epstein at the Dalton School.
no,
The space
but he,
relations, if you remember, is about international child sex trafficking.
okay.
In a framed in a positive light.
Well, there's some, I don't know, there could be a tie-in here, but I don't think so, but I'll get to it. What he actually graduated from school with was a degree in liberal studies with a minor in poli sci and English. And he said he was only made aware of this after a local TV station questioned his background. That was just like 3 weeks ago, February 16th.
So he didn't
And
even know. He was under the impression that he had graduated with a international studies degree, and but for some reason he had taken all liberal studies classes and graduated with that degree. But he didn't
Right.
know.
But at one point he did have to leave school, and he says it was his family was in a bind and he needed to help support them. So he went home to do that. And then he finished most of everything else and did graduate. Online. So he was, he
Oh, he graduated
said,
online. He's a young guy.
yeah, well, he graduated. I just wrote that down somewhere, what year he graduated. I think it was like 2006. Or did you just say 2006?
You said that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So he also claims that he is an economist.
Got it.
He's a former law enforcement officer and a human trafficking expert. On those three points, he was a volunteer.
This is just stuff on his resume.
Yeah.
Okay.
On for the Williamson County Sheriff's Office in 2009, but he lost that position. He was invited to leave that position in 2011, because he failed to work any of the minimum required hours. He failed to make any
Was
progress.
invited to leave.
He was invited to leave.
So
And
he used to get invited to leave the bar all the time.
Well, yeah, he was invited to leave his volunteer position
Yeah.
because he never showed up. He never made any progress in any training, and he did not attend any meetings.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move on to his economist claim. He has no degree in economics. He took one economics class at a JC, which, that's as good as a whatever. But he got a C. He barely passed that.
In
So
economics 101, you got to see the
economics.
basics of Keynesian
Yeah. And
economics.
that was the only course in economics that he took. Now, his claim of law enforcement. Okay, we know that he was a volunteer at the sheriff's office and was asked to leave. He said he fought international sex trafficking. And what actually happened was he had a part-time job at an anti-trafficking nonprofit group.
Yeah. In
And
an office, he's like a pencil pusher.
yes, he
I know
says
there's a lot of grifting going on in the sex trafficking world. There's this woman, Eliza Blue, who like made a bunch of money saying that she was like sex trafficked and all this stuff like that, and it's all fake. She's
huh.
she was just like she's she was just a internet thought, and like it's crazy. She went on like we probably could have got her on the show. I thought about asking her to come on the show once. She
Huh.
was going on like all the conspiracy shows. She went on Michael Malice. She went on Thaddeus Russell's show. She went on Liberty Lockdown. Everything like that. And then now it's all coming out that she was like in like these hip hop videos on her own volition and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Huh. Yeah. All right.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. So he worked at a anti-trafficking nonprofit. What he says, his response to all this is it's a simple case of condensing a resume for the sake of brevity on the campaign trail. And his office says that these revelations were an attempt by liberal media to make something out of nothing.
Sounds like he was the one trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So, you want a little George Santos update? It's just a brief.
Yeah, go. What was that guy's name again? From Tennessee?
Ogles.
Ogles.
Ogles. Andy Ogles. And he's youngish.
So is he facing any repercussions for these for the falsification
Nothing.
of this? He's still
Nothing
he a
yet.
state senator or like in the
Yeah.
Senate?
Yeah,
In the
state
state
senator.
Senate, or he's a state, he's in like Washington, D.C.
He's in DC.
Because they have state senators, right?
Yeah, no, he's in,
Like
he, I
that's what
believe.
Obama was a state senator, not like someone in D.C., you know?
Yeah. So that's just a little bit on him and our buddy George Santos.
Those guys should team up together,
They should. They
should
really should.
tag team each other.
So recent claims or recently uncovered claims, I should say, about Santos. He
More, there's
was,
more.
there's more, but wait, there's more.
Yeah,
He claims he was a Broadway producer and that he was a producer on the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark show. Well, his name is not anywhere in the show bill. And the lead producer for that production said Santos was never involved.
they need to start checking his Georgina or whatever his
His alter ego.
drag name is.
He also said he was a model.
What kind of model?
He told his former roommate that he would soon be appearing in Vogue magazine, and that he also.
He's not a good looking guy.
My God. And he also said he worked on New York Fashion Week, which is a huge, big deal,
Yeah.
and that he went to the Met Gala a number of times. He said he has access to high society folk,
This
and he
is so
went.
he's just telling this to his old roommate.
No, this just the model part was to his roommate.
Okay.
But he said he went to several Met galas, and that he also would commission parts of, I don't understand this, parts of art museums in New York. He would commission parts of art museums.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that means. And
Just
then
words. He just says words.
the last thing, and I think I might have touched on this, he's, but I'm not sure. He brokered several luxury yachts for clients, but and some of them were upwards of $20 million. But he of course did not want to name any clients or any of the details around the alleged contracts. And lastly, he said he had COVID. Maybe he did, and he was hospitalized because it was complicated by a previous brain tumor.
Maybe he's
So,
got some wild brain tumor that's causing him to lie.
maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe that little tumor is pushing on the wrong area.
Yeah. You know, on the Patreon, my friend Michael told me this story. He told us this really emotional story about his father-in-law, who was like his best friend. They were like hunting buddies. They had a cryptid experience together. And he lived, they had like an in-law house on their property, like what you're gonna have pretty soon. And he got cancer, but it wasn't like in his brain, but it changed his whole personality. He said it turned him into a gigantic paranoid asshole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's really, it was really touching but sad story, because I think he like died that way, you know?
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Was it due to the stress of having the
No,
disease,
it
or
was
it
like
was a real personality?
yeah, it was a real personality shift. Like he was like convinced that everybody was like stealing from him and stuff.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
Yeah.
There, I read recently about this young woman who's widowed. Her husband died of the same disease that Bruce Willis has recently been diagnosed with, a type of dementia. And this guy was
Most has
a,
like early onset dementia, huh?
well, it's not an early onset dementia. It's a particular kind, and I'm afraid I don't remember the name of it right now. But this, I mean, it happened really rapidly with this guy. He was maybe in his mid to late 30s. He was a policeman in his town. They had three children together. You know, everybody loved him. The children from the neighborhood would race over when they'd see him come home. You know, it just sounded like this great guy.
Yeah.
And almost like, not overnight, but very rapidly, he had this major personality change and was mean and nasty. And they discovered it was this dementia.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, he was gone.
At what age?
I think late 30s, early
Oh my
40s.
gosh, that's terrible. Did they ever find out what it was? He like a football player or like a rodeo rider or something?
They didn't say anything about that in there.
Yeah.
But
That
I have
was
a dear friend who was my roommate for a number of years in San Francisco, who had Louise,
Oh,
oh
I've
God,
heard of this.
yeah, Louise, it's a type of dementia also.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't understand what is wrong with this guy, because he was like so smart and so articulate. And you know, I gradually saw he wasn't living here then, so I didn't see him, but over the phone, and you know, the couple of times we did get together when he would come up and visit his mom, who lived up here, he was like lost in space. He would lose his train of thought mid-sentence, not
Yeah.
remember what he was talking about. Terrible.
Yeah, it's scary. Hopefully you're not quite there yet.
Not
See
I'm
traces of
approaching
it
it.
every now and again, but
You know, this is a big year for me.
what, 70? When, yeah, it's coming up, right?
Coming up.
What do you want for your birthday?
Nothing.
Okay,
But I'll put my mind to it. If I think of anything, I will be sure to let you know.
sounds good. Yeah, you're doing pretty
Yeah.
good for 70.
Yeah, I think so.
How old do you want to live to?
That's a good question. I don't know. I want to live until I am not comfortable living anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want any DNR. I mean, I don't want I want a DNR. I do not resuscitate.
Yeah. You wouldn't want
So,
me to give you mouth to mouth.
no.
Okay. I'll remember that. We have it on we have it on recorded.
Yeah,
That's probably that'll hold up.
that will hold up.
What I think. So, all right. Is that the end of the George Santos news?
That is, I've got one other, but we can let you have a go.
Well, not only are we the number one George Santos tracking podcast in the, we're now the number one DNC or RNC Republic National, what is it? National Congress? Is that what it is? National Council Committee. We're the Republican liar tracking podcast in the Pacific Northwest, but we are also the number one Sam Brinton tracking podcast. Do you remember Sam Brinton?
No.
Sam Brinton was the
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. The, yeah,
Biden's
Shade Tan guy.
non-binary ex-nuclear waste
Yes,
chief,
of
Sam
course.
Brinton, who
The.
you know, he took the political world by storm. I think what in like early 2022 with his outrageous beautiful fashions and his non-binary eccentric lifestyle, where he engaged in a lot of pup play, spanking seminars, all mixed in with a love of nuclear waste. And you know, he was a very, very interesting guy. We know that you were a fan of him. You liked him a lot. You liked his mustache, you liked his bald head.
I never.
I'm going to try to convince Charlie Robinson to go as him for New Year or for Halloween. Maybe I will too.
Yeah, you could.
But do you remember when it all came out? He was so what happened was he lost. He had a security clearance. He lost it because he was a compulsive luggage thief. And do you remember what I said? I said he's stealing those bags because he knows what's in them. He hangs out at the baggage check area where you line up. He sees he knows which flight. He gets to the airport a little early. He knows what flight he's going on. He's like, okay, I've got to go from DC to Minneapolis. And he sees you know, a woman that's about his size who looks like she's got money, she's got nice luggage, she's got good style. And he picks that luggage out and he goes, okay, I'm going to go to the luggage claim, the baggage claim, and I'm going to take that. He got busted twice, right?
Twice.
Initial one that he denied, and then they got him again. And I made the point that I guarantee you, if you went back and looked at this guy's flight log of all the flights he's been on in the past 5 years, and you looked up what baggage went missing on that, he's responsible for it. Turns out I might be more correct than incorrect because, did you hear this part of the story, Deborah? This African
There
woman,
he is.
look at
There he
this
is.
dress. So this is like this, well, how would you describe this dress?
Sort of like a flamenco dancer, maybe.
Yeah.
It's got a almost looks like a t-shirt on top, a sleeveless, like a what do you call those muscle? What are those shirts called? Sleeveless shirts. Anyway, and then the skirt, the bottom part of it is three-tiered. It's all red, and it does have
Has
like a
some sort of
ribbon.
like a serpent pattern on it. Like
Yeah.
looks like
Yeah.
chicken wire in between. But yeah, I don't know what to call it, but I just call it stunning and brave.
Well, it is stunning.
Yeah.
I'm
So
stunned.
would you look at this? This woman here, this beautiful African model wearing the same thing. Looks like he might have taken a few liberties and
Yeah, it's not exactly the
got
same.
it. But so what happened was, Deborah, this African woman who's a fashion designer, her luggage went missing from Houston. She was on her way to a to go do a fashion show in Nigeria or something.
Oh no, and her clothes got
Her all her
stolen.
clothes disappeared.
Ugh.
A couple years later, this is her. This is fashion designer Asiya Thompson, accused President Biden's fired non-binary nuclear waste guru Sam Brinton of wearing her custom-made outfits that vanished with her luggage in 2018. And yeah, look, here's another one right here.
He had the balls to wear it.
How dare you?
That's
Yeah.
pretty low, pretty
Yeah. Why
low.
is everybody calling out the cultural appropriation on this one? You know?
Wow.
But yeah, so he got busted for that one. Says earlier in February, Brinton walked out of a Minnesota court after Leroy, be quiet, after a preliminary hearing on luggage theft charges for the other thefts. Brinton could face up to 5 years in prison and or a $10,000 fine if found guilty. According to the complaint, Brinton removed a tag from a woman's luggage and walked out with the bag at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport on September 16th. Okay, so we already know about all that stuff. Yeah. So Sam Brinton strikes again. I guarantee you go back, you look at those flight logs. These were
There's
stolen
going to be
many, many, many more. I mean,
and he had the nerve to wear it not just out in public, but at
on like
an
some red
event.
carpet event. Yeah. Like a Trevor
Trevor,
Live event. I don't know what that is, but
wasn't the Trevor, that was the name of a gay guy that got murdered.
okay. Or it might have been like a, I think his big thing was he said that he had been forced to go to what do they call the therapy when they try to make you not gay? Conversion
Conversion.
therapy. Yeah, he had claimed that his family had forced him to go to that, and it turned out his family was like this fantastic, like wonderful, totally supportive family.
Oh God.
So he even threw them under the bus. Yeah, so I think that was his thing. So yeah, Sam Brinton.
Wow.
I saw him, a video of him coming out of court. He was wearing a suit. There's all these, oh, here we go. This is him coming out of court.
Did you visit the
Somebody asks him, who are you wearing?
Mr. Brinton, do you still have a security clearance? Are you going to plead guilty today? Did you steal any luggage today?
You steal any luggage today?
Who are you wearing?
Who are you
Who are
wearing?
you?
Good looking suit. I
Are
like
you here for
that.
an interview with the Walls Administration? Did you visit the Larry Craig restroom?
Oh God.
What's the Larry Frank restroom?
It's the guy that got busted in some bath. He was a politician. He got busted in the bathroom, like doing that thing where you like tap another guy's foot under the stall to signal him,
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well,
You know?
okay. Now, is he still working for Biden?
No, because I think he lost his security clearance as
So
soon
he
as all those
couldn't.
charges were filed against him. So he can't work, but yeah. So the saga continues. We'll be interesting to see what happens to him and if he has to go to prison for 5 years, which one he chooses.
Yeah.
So what do you got, Deborah?
I have a little bit about Fox News.
Oh, Fox.
Fox. So, you know, a defamation lawsuit was brought by the Dominion voting systems.
Okay.
In the amount of $1.6 billion.
Billion.
Billion. Yeah.
We're getting Alex Jones numbers.
Yeah. You know, for false news reporting. So, all right. Rupert Murdoch was questioned, and he admitted that some of his Fox News hosts endorsed false claims, and that such as the 2020 election was stolen. He denied that Fox as a network endorsed the claims, but that the hosts did, and he named hosts Jeanine Pirro, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs, and Maria Bartiromo.
No Tucker Carlson.
No, but there's something about him here. And no Sean Hannity and no Laura Ingraham. Now, I mentioned those three names because when I turn on the news, it's usually one of their shows because I usually have it on like over dinner. And, you know, we'll channel surf and I'll want to see what they have to say. And they are always, those three that I just mentioned, pretty, pretty adamant about all this stuff, you know, the Laura election.
Ingraham, who's the other ones?
Tucker, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity.
Yeah. Okay. I like Tucker. A lot of people think he's a controlled opposition or whatever. He says stuff that's on the mainstream that. You know, people aren't saying even if he's controlled op, he's putting stuff out there, you know.
He did. I watched this broadcast, a clip of it that he did say he wanted Sidney Powell to come up with receipts.
Yeah. He said it on the air.
On the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the big thing was that he had been like, pretending that he believed everything she said, but then sent like text messages behind the air to other people saying like how full of shit she was.
Yeah. So Murdoch said, I would have liked us to be stronger in denouncing it in hindsight, meaning the election steal. And in his deposition, he said that the hosts who knew they were promoting lies should be reprimanded, maybe gotten rid of. He would not say that Tucker endorsed election fraud, but Murdoch said it was wrong for Tucker to have the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell,
your buddy.
My buddy on his show.
I still want to get him MyPillow. Maybe that's what I'm asking for Christmas.
I think they were selling them at Costco.
Yeah.
So not that we're, you know, promoting it on our show, but there you go.
Hey, Mike Lindell, if you want to pay us some MyPillow ad money, we will endorse your pillows on our show. I heard they're fantastic pillows, Deborah.
Yeah, but they're, you know, that theme song that they have on the at the end of their commercials.
I don't watch network TV, so like you know more about them than I do because I don't watch the news and I don't watch any channels that would have those commercials. Sing us a little verse of it?
No, but it's real hokey. It's like the Andrews sisters are singing.
The Andrews?
You know, it's,
I don't even know who they are.
They were like in the 40s. They, you know, sang upbeat songs. Yeah. So anyhow, going on. So Mike Lindell, he said that shouldn't have had Mike Lindell on their shows. And a spokesperson for Fox said their summary summary judgment motion took an extreme, unsupported view of defamation law that would prevent journalists from basic reporting in their efforts to publicly smear Fox for covering and commenting on allegations by a sitting president of the United States, should be recognized for what it is, a blatant violation of the First Amendment. So court documents revealed earlier this month showed that Fox News hosts expressing doubts.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow.
There he is.
Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the
fastest growing
companies
in America. Are you going to listen to
the song now? Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-fill pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match
yours. Why don't you go to the end so you can hear this great song?
My computer
just keep your neck support.
Night and I.
Okay.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit mypillow.com.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. So, so he should be ashamed of himself just for having that song on. All right. So, back to this. Court documents revealed earlier this month showed Fox News hosts. Oh, Cubby's dreaming. Must be all that my pillow talk. Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay. Hosts expressing doubts about the election fraud claims they were pushing viewers. And in an excerpt from an exhibit, Tucker said, told a producer, Sidney Powell is lying. Quotes. About having evidence of election fraud. Tucker also referred to Powell in a text as an unguided missile and dangerous as hell. Host Laura Ingraham told Carlson, quote Tucker Carlson, that Powell is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto with Rudy.
That all turned out to be pretty true. You know.
Sean Hannity said in his deposition that the whole narrative that Sidney was pushing, I did not believe it for one second. So now, you know, Trump is coming out against Fox and Paul Ryan because Paul Ryan is on the board at Fox Corporation.
Paul Ryan, and, who used to be like from Wisconsin.
Yes, yeah.
Politician from
former
Wisconsin.
Speaker. Yeah. So he said in his deposition that he told Murdoch and his son, who is Fox Corporation CEO Lachlan Murdoch, Fox News should not be spreading conspiracy theories, and the trial will begin in mid-March. And we'll see what happens to Fox News.
That's crazy that there's going to be a trial. Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe there should be. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, they certainly damaged Dominion's reputation, or you know, saying that all the voting machines were rigged and
yeah,
all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that the election was or wasn't, but if I were Dominion, I would not be very happy about that.
Yeah, we'll see. It's it's crazy because there's lies going on everywhere on the news, and it's funny to see which ones stick and they can come up with these lawsuits and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's what I got on Fox.
Got it. Okay, where do you want to go from here?
What do you got?
A New Jersey woman blows herself up in a house.
God.
We got some Chuck Schumer news. We got the National Day of Hate.
What's that?
Okay, we'll go to that. Funny you ask. All right, we'll go back. We don't have to play this yet. I'll go into the news article. Let's see. So there was a it got put out there in the news that there was all these white power neo-Nazi, you know, groups in America, which I haven't seen a neo-Nazi since I was 22 years old at a Cockney Rejects show. And those guys didn't hang out too long after they showed up. You know, there's this whole left-wing conspiracy that there's all these hate groups in America. So here I've got, there was supposed to be a National Day of Hate against Judaism. I was worried for you.
Thank you.
But apparently nothing happened. Nobody, people just said that it was going to happen and then nothing happened.
Hmm.
Let's see. This is a local Chicago, some sort of Illinois. Yeah, this is WGN News from Chicago. Let's see what they got to say.
Police across the country are warning of potential anti-Jewish hate crimes this weekend.
They say extremist groups have posted online calling for a National Day of Hate tomorrow. WGN's Alyssa Donovan is live in Lakeview with the very latest on this. Alyssa.
Yeah, good evening, Ben and Lourdes. Several law enforcement agencies and Jewish community groups have issued community alerts tonight and throughout this week, warning of what some anti-Semite groups have dubbed a National Day of Hate, which is set to take place tomorrow.
Unfortunately, you can say it lightly, this is the world we live in now.
Dan Goldwyn with the Jewish United Fund and Jewish Federation of Chicago has been in constant contact with law enforcement as neo-Nazi and anti-Semite groups have announced a National Day of Hate this Saturday. Chicago police sent out a community alert warning the public to be vigilant and situationally aware throughout the weekend, with specific focus on largely Jewish communities like Rogers Park, Westridge, and Lakeview. According to CPD, online extremists have advised followers to vandalize, place flyers, and perform other acts of so-called activism against the Jewish community.
We're not aware of any direct credible threats. We've talked to every level of law enforcement we could think of. But we wanted to make sure we were safe, so we notified the community. Community's taking appropriate steps. But in the meantime, we hope tomorrow people are Jewish the way they want to be Jewish.
Illinois State Police also issued an alert advising heightened awareness and encouraging people to call 911 if they see anything suspicious. Goldwyn says the entire Jewish community has been made aware of the messages that are circulating online.
We made sure we notified all the institutions in Chicago, synagogues, schools, agencies that take care of those who need help so that they have appropriate security measures in place.
You notice how they're not like they haven't said anything specific at all? Like if these were right. All these websites, wouldn't they be able
show
to
us. Those show us
down and go pay a visit to them?
Yeah, I mean, they should be showing
sources. Or, yeah, nothing. Just they're just saying there's hate groups saying they're going to do mean things to Jewish people tomorrow. So be careful.
And while the community is on high alert, Goldwyn wants people to continue to do what they normally would, go to services and attend celebrations.
But in the meantime, we hope tomorrow people are Jewish the way they want to be Jewish. Go to Shabbat services, bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings. We hope they all do that.
The Anti-Defamation League has also issued a statement regarding Harris the threats that are happening over the weekend, saying that they are also in constant contact with law enforcement and are monitoring the situation. Reporting live in Lakeview, Alyssa Donovan, WGN News.
So that was the National Day of Hate.
Yeah.
Police across the country are warning.
Nothing seemed to have come out of it.
Yeah.
It was such a non-story that, you know, you are you're the Jewish voice of this podcast. You didn't even know.
I didn't even know.
Isn't it? That's so crazy that they did. They just, you know.
Fear mongering.
Yeah, exactly. Just pumping everybody up. Letting people know that it's there. It's always lurking under the surface. There's neo-Nazis and white nationalists coming to get the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And they can, and it works. They can do it, you know. They can do it to anybody. They could do it to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not them. I don't know. It might kind of, it'd be harder. They have to like go like three. They have to do some 3 to 4D chess to get me. But I know they get me sometimes. So, yeah.
It's, yeah. Well, that was uplifting.
Yeah. So just know that when you see that stuff, Deborah, it's not always the real deal. They're just trying to work you up for something, take your attention away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I've seen white power people a few times in my life. And that's because I was in the punk rock scene where it was, you know, sometimes they would show up, but not very often. More so in the earlier 90s and the 80s, it was a bigger deal, but that stuff all kind of worked itself out. People say it went undercover. I think it just kind of disappeared, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but that was that. Where, do you got anything else?
No, I don't.
Okay.
That's it. Let's, for me.
You got...
Oh, there, did you hear about the woman? I don't have any real info on this, in Tacoma, who has tuberculosis, and she was warned that if she didn't start taking medication or isolating, that today she would be put in jail.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't, I mean, that was just a little tiny blurb I saw, but I haven't seen any updates on it. So
she got diagnosed at the hospital by the doctor.
Mm-hmm. With tuberculosis.
Her medical history public.
Yeah. I don't know how the officials found this out.
Yeah.
That was not mentioned in, it was just a little teeny article.
Wow, but, that's yeah. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you hear there's a new addition to the Clinton body count?
No.
Yeah, we got a new one. It's from Gateway Pundit. Oh, no, this isn't it. That's a, here's a complete, this is from 2019. This is a list of, all, it's a complete list of the Clinton body count. James McDougal, Mary Mahoney, Vince Foster. That's the famous one.
Yeah. Yeah.
His body was found at a park in Virginia by Judy Mikovits's brother. Very strange story. Judy Mikovits is the one that made that movie. Remember that movie Plandemic?
That yes. Came out very
Plandemic? Yeah.
Whoa.
She had kind of like a little bit. She was around she was making the rounds on all the conspiracy shows. I never really liked her aesthetic. And then she seemed very, very spooky, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed like she was intelligence connected. But it goes on and on. I think in 2019, I think they put this out in 2019 because that's when Epstein happened. But this is 37 people long. No, 34 at this point in 2019. And then the following Clinton bodyguards are also dead.
Wow.
35 through 46. So 11 Clinton
bodyguards. Wow.
And it says the most recent, Seth Rich, the DC staffer murdered and robbed of nothing. Remember that one?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he was killed outside of his apartment in Washington, DC. And I believe that he... he was like one of the WikiLeaks leakers. He leaked stuff to Julian Assange.
Uh-huh.
And they found him dead outside his apartment in a robbery, but all his wallet and his expensive watch and everything was still on him.
Wow.
But that's that. We have a new addition to the list. I think there's probably been a bunch since then, but let's see. Where is that guy? Okay, let's see what we got here. No, not that one. Yeah, there we go. Clinton associate dead. Okay, this is New York Post, and they take a very pro-Clinton side on this. Very interesting, right? Because I always feel like New York Post is a little more right-leaning, but they're very, very, very establishment, very pro-Israel, very apparently pro-Clinton as well. So, a shotgun was discovered near the body of former Clinton aide with links to Jeffrey Epstein, who died by suicide last year, despite initial reports to the contrary, officials said this week. A new set of documents obtained by the Daily Mail states that a Stoeger 12-gauge shotgun was 30 feet from the body of Mark Middleton when he was found dead on Hafer Ranch in Perryville, Arkansas, on May 7, 2022. So they're saying he killed himself with a shotgun.
That's
What they're
kind of
not
hard to do,
telling
isn't it?
you is that he was bound to a tree with an ex an orange extension cord around his neck, like around the tree, and shot in the chest.
And they're
And
saying that was a
the
suicide.
shotgun was 30 feet away.
How does that happen?
Who
I mean,
knows?
first of all, it's kind of hard to shoot yourself in the chest with a shotgun, isn't it?
It can be done. Like, I think to shoot yourself with, they say a lot of the time you have to do it with your toe. I guess, I don't know. I can't really, I have a shotgun. I've never held it in that fashion and tried that out, you know. But yeah.
But he was found bound to the tree.
Yes.
That seems very peculiar.
Yeah, it happened a while back. I thought it was recent, but I guess what happened was is that it was ruled a suicide, and that's so here's New York Post again. The mysterious death of aide Bill Clinton, almost 1 year after Middleton's death. See. Yeah, so Middleton notably signed late pedophile Epstein into the White House 7 of the 17 times. Did you know Jeffrey Epstein had been in the White House 17 times?
I did not know that.
I didn't either. 17 times that he had visited there. He is also this guy. So this guy did that 7 out of 10, so nearly half the times, and he had also flown on the Lolita Express also. Did you hear they're supposed to be releasing the list, like the black book list?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, I think a judge ruled that it was supposed to be released, but I haven't heard or seen anything yet. So, who knows? So Middleton left the White House in 1995. So he was there for, when did Bill Clinton get in? 1992?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Because it was when Reagan was 80 to 84. Bush, or no, did Bush, Reagan went to 88. Bush went to, because Reagan did 2 terms. Bush did 88 to 92. Clinton did 92 to 2000. Then we were into George Bush. George Bush, Obama, Trump, Uncle Joe. Yeah. We need to do a little more Joe Biden tracking stuff on here, because there's a lot of fun stuff there too. But yeah, so another one added to the list.
Wow.
Thoughts?
That's a lot of people coincidentally dying
Yeah, I mean,
who.
everybody knows a couple of people that committed suicide. I know probably more than most because I spent time in 12-step recovery, and it's quite prevalent there. A lot of what they call double winners, dual diagnosis, people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and have mental problems. So, But yeah, and then during the lockdowns, I know a lot of people that overdosed and committed suicide. But yeah, they know an astonishing amount of people who died by suicide from the people that I know, you know, do stuff like drive their motorcycles to gas stations and shoot themselves in the head in broad daylight. These people are found, you know, hanging from red scarves from doorknobs and, you know, shot in the chest with a shotgun that's 30 feet away while they're tied to a tree. In the Oklahoma City bombing, there was this guy, he was this black cop named Terrence Heakey. He was the Oklahoma City Police Department cop. And he had seen a bunch of stuff, you know, that really happened on instead of the narrative. And he was speaking out about it. And he was found like miles from his car, like with his hands. I'm not going to get all these details right, guys, so don't yell at me. But if you can clear it up with me if you want. They talk about it in A Noble Lie, that OKC bombing movie that's really good. Used to be available on Amazon Prime, but not anymore. But he had like his hands bound behind his back. He was like strangled, hung from a tree, like shot in the head a couple times, like maybe burned. And it got ruled suicide.
God.
He had like climbed a fence supposedly with his hands bound behind his back. Yeah. Wild stuff.
Wild.
I haven't heard any of the theories on, you know, much more besides this guy was an Epstein associate, but maybe it's got to do with these this client list coming out and stuff like that.
So the list of 44 people that we just saw, they all were suicides, they say.
Suicides or like strange, very strange. Like Vince Foster never got... Maybe Vince Foster got ruled a suicide. I don't know. Vince Foster, did you say you remember that name?
I remember the name, yeah. It was
something Clinton. To do with the Whitewater real estate scandal.
Yeah.
William Ramsey did a bunch of stuff on it. That's when I first started following William Ramsey, was listening to stuff about Vince Foster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was way back in the day, 93. And I think it goes back. You know, I mean, way before that, because we got the kids on the train tracks in Mena, Arkansas, which can be related to Bill Clinton when he was the governor of Arkansas.
What was that?
So there's this small airport. Did you see that movie with Tom Cruise, Made in America, where he's like a drug trafficking pilot? It's worth a watch. He's supposed to be this guy, Barry Seal, who was a drug trafficker, and he was flying drugs from Central America, and then he was dropping them or flying into this really small little local airport in Arkansas called Mena, Arkansas. And I forget the exact story, but these two kids you know, saw something, and then they were found on the train tracks, run over by the train. They called them the boys on the tracks. And the story was they got stoned on marijuana. This was in the 80s, so it was like more of a stigma.
And uh-huh.
You know, they got stoned, fell asleep on the tracks, and got run over. But they were they had their throats slit with a knife. So, yeah,
kind of hard to pass out from marijuana, so much so that you wouldn't hear or feel the rumblings of a train approaching.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to slit your throat high on marijuana if you're so stoned that you got to pass out on the train tracks. But yeah, watch that movie. It's pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't do the story justice like it should, but there's a point when he gets arrested and he's in custody, and he's like telling the, I might be getting it mixed up with Lord of War, the Nicolas Cage movie where he was the that guy Victor Boot that just got released in the trade for Brittany Griner. Remember that?
Oh, uh-huh.
But there's the scene, there's two similar scenes in those movies, and there's one where he's Tom Cruise playing Barry Seal is in custody, and he's like, you're gonna get a call from somebody that's gonna tell you, he's telling like the guy who's ever like the FBI guy or whoever's been chasing him all around, and it's the governor, like they say the governor is on the phone. He says to let him go, and the governor is Bill Clinton. They don't say Bill Clinton, but that's who it is. And then he died. He got at some point. They got him because he knew too much. But
Jesus. Yeah.
Let's see. So we've done a bunch of stuff. You want to do? I've got a really fun one.
Oh, let's have some fun.
You want to do? We could do some Ukraine news, but we all know I have a good. There's a good clip of General Douglas MacArthur on this show. Let's watch it. It's 5 minutes, and then we can watch the fun one to end it, okay?
Okay.
So General Douglas MacArthur was like, Colonel Douglas MacArthur, I think it is. Let's see here. Where is that? Okay, here it is. This is from some podcast called Redacted that's on YouTube. So this clip was going around. They played it on No Agenda too. But Colonel McGregor was high level military, you know, back, I don't know when he retired, but he's like the only one. He's really good on real no nonsense, you know, military guy, but he's anti-war. Uh-huh. And, he's the only one speaking out about what's going on, about what happened in the Middle East, all this stuff. And so if you want to know what's going on and you want to hear it from like an establishment dude who's telling the truth and knows all about the system and the military industrial complex, he is your guy. So let's go.
Well, a lot of big developments in the war in Ukraine that we want to get to, including big admissions from NATO that Ukraine will become a member of NATO after all. The United States admitting it can't track any of the weapons heading into Ukraine. And President Trump saying that we're all headed for World War III. This may be one of the most dangerous periods in American history. For more context and nuance, let's bring in Colonel Douglas MacGregor. Colonel, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
So let's start with the comments from NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg admitting that Ukraine will become a NATO member. Said it pretty emphatically. Listen.
After the war, like, what's its own role?
So what NATO allies have agreed that Ukraine will become a member of our alliance, but at the same time that is a long-term perspective. What is the issue now is to ensure that Ukraine prevail as a sovereign independent nation, and that therefore we need to support Ukraine.
I see that the future of Ukraine is to be part of European Union and also member of NATO.
So Colonel, what are your thoughts on that? NATO. No, it's getting a new member in Ukraine.
I don't think this is an admission as much as a stated goal. But having said that, I think the real purpose of this is to prevent any negotiations from being held. If you take the position that there is no alternative to NATO membership for Ukraine, you're effectively telling the Russians that their preference for a non-aligned neutral state in Ukraine is no longer up for discussion. That means Russians have to fight this war to the finish. There will be no negotiated settlement. And that's what Washington and London want. I don't think everyone else in Europe shares that view, but that's clearly the attitude in Washington and London.
So just wiping Ukraine off the map is the alternative? That's what Washington and London want?
Well, I don't think they want that necessarily. I know that the Russians don't want that, but you just leave the Russians no choice. If you tell them that at the end of this war, whatever that means and whenever that occurs, that Ukraine will be a member of NATO, that turns everything back to an existential threat to Russia. The Russians know that if they relent in any way, if they admit, for instance, that half of Ukraine can become part of Russia, in other words, the Western half or something, then they've got the problem they had back in January and February, which is this huge anti-Russian force highly trained, well-equipped army ready to attack them. So why would they do that? So this is designed to kill any hope for a negotiated settlement. That's all.
Fascinating. Then, of course, we have President of Ukraine Zelensky saying yesterday that American sons and daughters will have to shed blood in Ukraine, that's what we have to do in order to secure the victory.
The U.S. will have to send their sons and daughters exactly the same way as we are sending their sons and daughters to war, and they will have to fight because it's NATO that we're talking about, and they will be dying, God forbid, because it's a horrible thing.
What did you make of it?
So that was actually fact-checked. I tried to pull that up. I did pull that up before I found this, and there was like a bunch of like Snopes stuff on it. So what he said, according to them, in context, was that if Russia wins this war, then U.S. will have to send troops to go fight them, because it's bullshit. Because he's saying that after Ukraine loses, Russia will just keep going and going for some reason, which isn't true. And what the next country that they would go to would be a NATO country, which is something that they would never do. You know, does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense what he's saying, but, you know. So it's like the domino theory of Vietnam, whereas if communists take Vietnam, then it's going to spread the whole world over. It didn't happen, you know.
Hmm.
Well, there are two things. So first of all, he's admitting the truth. Ukraine cannot win this war. And the losses they've taken fighting the Russians in southern Ukraine have been horrific. The Russians have invited the Ukrainians, now certainly since September, to attack them in southern Ukraine relentlessly. And that's exactly what the Ukrainians have done. And they have taken horrendous losses. In December, January, first part of February, they were losing 1,000 men a day.
That's incredible numbers. Like, I wasn't alive during Vietnam. We've had this talk before. You apparently have no connection to anyone or like 3 degrees of separation that died in Vietnam. But, you know, I do. I know plenty of people, family members and stuff who died there. And we lost 60,000 people in Vietnam in 10 years. So if you do the math, I don't know what that is. That's not 1,000 people a day, though.
Yeah.
You know? Imagine what I mean. What's 1,000 people a day for that's if that's 2 months, that would be equivalent to how many Americans were lost in the Nam.
Hmm.
And you don't see it. I mean, I don't know how much you remember from that time, but they were broadcasting the war on the news, right?
Yeah, every
it's
night.
Not done anymore. Like, I don't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know if 2 people were dying a day or if 1,000 were. So that's news to me, and that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no reference for it. And it's just one of those things where it's, you know, pretty soon it'll just be the endless war. It'll be out of sight, out of mind. And like, we'll go on to the next thing. You know, I didn't get into it this week, but there's so much evidence that we're just going to be kind of keep just funding this. But we're the whole media attention is switching to China. And that's why all this anti-China stuff's coming out, whether it doesn't sound that important, like TikTok or the lab leak, the Wuhan lab leak coming out being real now, even though everybody knew that it was real.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was decided that was real a year ago, but they're bringing it up now because they got to whip up people's, you know, hatred for China now. So keep your eyes on that, Deborah.
Yeah.
What you're going to be watching mainstream news. And if you're watching Fox at dinner time, like Fox is, they want, most of those guys are going to want to, like Sean Hannity wants to go to war with China for sure. So Tucker probably doesn't, but watch the news cycle and how they start spinning stuff about China now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, let's watch a little bit more of this. This is pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Before that, it was roughly a battalion a day of 500, 600, 700. I think they're back to about a battalion a day now. It's dropped simply because they've run out of troops. and they've decided that they're going to hold Bakhmut to the last man. There are about 2,000 to 3,000 of them in Bakhmut. They're trying to put more reinforcements in there, but Bakhmut has been a bloodbath for Ukraine. And for every Ukrainian or for every Russian soldier who is killed and wounded, there have been 7 or 8 Ukrainians killed or wounded. This is a losing proposition for them. So in that sense, he's being honest. The only way he can win is with NATO help and specifically with us to come in, because obviously, with the exception of potentially the Poles, nobody else is going to join that. Now, the second part is this. Biden knows and his advisors know that if he tries to commit the United States to war in eastern Ukraine against Russia, he's finished. His administration is finished. It's over. That is not going to happen. That's an impossibility.
So then does...
We can stop it there. This is really informative. It goes on for another 10 minutes. It's called Redacted on YouTube.
Okay.
So
Redacted.
Definitely right. Worth watching. I think Colonel Douglas McGregor is a fantastic resource here. You can tell he's a real deal. Sounds like McGruff. Just to the point and tells you the way it is. And I wish more and more people would listen to guys like this, especially all these boomer con pro military, pro cop people. They hear a guy like this talk, and I don't know. We need.
I'm reading this book right now. I'm not that far into it, so I can't explain too much, but it's about Britain and World War II, Churchill. And World War II. It's written by Eric Larson, I believe is his name.
The guy that wrote Devil in the White City?
I'm not sure about that. But he wrote, the name of this book is Sublime and Vile.
Yeah, okay.
And, nice, Cubby. Roosevelt, held back. London or Britain kept requesting help. Please send your old ships. Please send, they wanted everything. And Roosevelt, kept saying, no, can't do it. No, can't do it. Until they were invading England. France was already taken, and they sent over like a mothball fleet and had to kind of phony it up and say it was a trade with Britain for some of their British Isles that would allow the U.S. to build stations on their land.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, Eric Larson, he's the guy that wrote Devil in White City, and that's the one that's about the Chicago World's Fair.
Oh, okay.
About H.H. Holmes, the serial
killer. It's a
fun listen. I mean, I know a lot of Tartaria people talked about it because that was a big deal that we talked about with but it's weird. It's like two concurrent stories telling the story of like all the architects and the like all the landscape people and the construction workers building the stuff, and then H.H. Holmes, his whole deal, like murdering young women,
mm-hmm.
While that's all happening at the same time in the same area. It's all right. It's good. It's funny because like the whole book is about how nothing that they planned is possible to get done, and then at one point it's just done. Like they don't talk about how it got finished. But yeah, that the whole World War II thing sounds really interesting, and we probably should have just kept our noses out of it, but I think we got into the war after Pearl Harbor, and there's a lot of intel saying that those guys knew that was coming,
mm-hmm. and
so that we would have a reason to get involved. We got involved, killed the Germans. We killed the Germans with with the help of the Russians. And you know what General Patton wanted to do after that?
No.
He wanted to go after the Russians. He wanted to go kill the commies, and we should have done that. We stopped short of the goal. So we should have used them to help what we did with the Germans, and then we should have gone and killed all them because they were all dead. 20 million of them died in that war.
Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah. But other than that, we'll do a fun, good conspiracy one. Have you ever seen this? Do you know who Bill Hader is?
Yeah, he was on SNL.
Yeah, he's Barry, the show on HBO. He plays like
I haven't seen that show. Uh-huh.
I watched the first two seasons. They were really good, and I just started watching the third season. It's not that great. But watch this. Emily showed this to me.
Here's the very funny Bill Hader, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it seemed like every movie I saw in the last several months, you were in it. And good for you. That's just great.
Thanks, buddy.
And I was wondering about the one, the Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder.
Tom Cruise. You're working with Tom Cruise. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. Like, we got to dance together. that was amazing. We had, like, you know, when you do a movie, you do table reads, you know, where, like, all the actors get together.
Or at the beginning of the
production. Beginning, before anything, you get together and you read through the script. And so it's like, you know, all these heavyweights, like, you know, Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr., everybody. And then at the end is, like, me. Like, you know, like, hey. Happy to be here, guys. some other supporting guys. And then Tom Cruise walks in.
Oh, my God.
And even those guys are like, whoa, and he's super stoked to be there. you know, just like, yeah.
I'm gonna go back. I was making it full screen.
Wait.
Oh, boom. And even those guys are like, whoa, and he's super stoked to be there. you know, just like, yeah. Oh, boom. you know, like, he's like,
wow.
He's just immediately excited.
How did that happen?
When he walks into a room. So he comes over and he sits next to me. And I think he had been briefed on some of the supporting guys. But he was like trying to place me, you know? So he sat down next to me and he's like,
Oh, my God.
happening.
I love your work. And I went, oh, thanks. I love your work too, Tom Cruise. you know, like, thanks. I go, yeah, you know, I'm friends with Judd Apatow and Seth Rogen, and they went to your house. He went, yes. They did come to my house. And I said, Seth Rogen.
What do you think, Deborah?
That's hilarious.
You think that's real?
No, of course not. No.
You don't think it's real? You don't think
it's real? I don't think he is morphing into Tom Cruise.
You think it's deep fake technology?
I do indeed. What year was this? This is not all
like
that.
This is 3 years ago.
Okay.
This is before. This got 13 million views 3 years. I think this is like 2018. I mean, he's talking about Tropic Thunder, which is an old movie.
Uh-huh. And it must be. He's doing the rounds for the movie, so.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty freaky.
Yeah. I mean, even if he's not a shape-shifting lizard person, that deepfake technology was around back then. And where do the post-truth world, I think. This AI technology that just came out and this deepfake stuff and this chat GPT that's going to just grow by leaps and bounds in quality over the next few months is the truth and fiction is going to be so blurred that we're going to not be. I think it's a big change in the history of the world.
I agree. It's frightening.
Yeah, I guess there's something with Zelensky with a body. Everybody's got body doubles. They've had him for, you know, generations. But there's one of Zelensky with a body double. And there's, it's just his bodyguard. But
Just coincidence.
This stuff, This stuff's crazy. And you guys go like find Bill Hader shape-shifting into Tom Cruise. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty.
It's pretty funny. It's bizarre. I mean, at first I was like, because you don't see it happening at all. It's done pretty darn well.
Yeah, it's seamless. And it'd be interesting to know if this happened, if this actually happened on the show while it was live, or if somebody did this after.
They must have done it after.
Yeah.
I wonder, though.
I like to think that it really happened.
Yeah. I like Bill Hader.
Yeah.
He's funny on SNL. I liked him.
He was good in, he was in Superbad. He was one of the cops in Superbad. It's a funny dude. Yeah, the show varies pretty good. But yeah, we can call it there. I think we didn't get around to too much else. If you get your, you know how to do this with your search stuff, right, Deborah? Just open new windows, and if you have it on your computer, we can share your stories on here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I might need a little tutorial, or just talk me through it, and I'll.
Okay.
That'd be great. Well,
maybe we'll do 10 minutes after the show with Chris tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, guys, again, once again, sorry about the late tardiness of this episode. Just like I said, it's been crazy out here. I'm a little not too stressed out. I know it's going to be okay. I'm stressed that that my ram's going to die and that I'm going to have to slaughter the whole flock sheep. So I mean, that's worst case scenario. I don't think it's going to happen, but the more
in worst case scenario mode, if that were to happen, could you butcher them?
They are consumable with that disease.
Okay. Okay.
That would happen.
Yeah. So they wouldn't have lived in vain.
Yeah. That story I told today, guys, I went down and bought those clippers used off some guy off Craigslist. Just a fantastically nice guy who let me come onto his farm and just. We just talked and hung out for a minute, and really, really good dude. Best people I've ever met in my life are on Craigslist Farm and Feed. Like, go out there and just go buy something off somebody off there and make friends. And I called that guy, the sheep shear guy, and super nice guy. You know, I'm going out to his, he's having me out on his farm tomorrow to go, and he's going to fix up my clippers for me for free and show me how to use them, you know? So
that's really nice. Neighborly.
That's that's the kind of stuff in the world, the real world, that you got to go out and do to keep yourself sane. You can't stay at home, look at Twitter and Instagram and memes and listen to conspiracy podcasts all day, because you're going to go nuts. You're going to go nuts. You're going to lose faith in humanity and humankind. And, you know, that's kind of the point of life, is connecting with people and not losing faith in the world, and just finding the beauty and everything, and love and friendship and faith. So Deborah, I want to thank you for being here. We cranked out a pretty good show today. Hopefully people enjoy it.
I hope so. And you just expressed yourself very beautifully.
Thank you. Well, I love you very much. I'm glad I get to hang out with you tomorrow. We'll get into Chris gave us 3 cases. I'll send them over to you.
Okay, please. Yes.
And we'll figure out which one we want to do. Okay.
Okay, sounds great.
Right. Love you. Love you guys. And
love you.
I'll get on the Patreon. It's good stuff. All right.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Deborah.
You betcha.